Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
It's Reaction Monday, and it is no overreaction to say the Kansas City Chiefs are a mess. They get pounded by the Titans, and they never gave themselves a chance in this one. It was over from the start. I'm Spencer in today for KK, and I'll chat with Stan Weber about the Chiefs' woes on both sides of the ball. And in college football, Kansas was competitive against Oklahoma, but at the end of the day, the Sooners were just too much to handle. But does KU have some confidence in quarterback Jason Bean? He looked pretty good. K-State goes to Lubbock, gets off to a terrible start. In fact, the first half of the K-State game and the Chiefs game were pretty identical, except K-State comes back to win the game at 25-24. What a relief for Chris Klieman and the Wildcats after losing three in a row. Lots of football talk on a Monday. Brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry. They're a family-owned and operated business for generations and a proud sponsor of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Visit Joslyn's at 95th and Antioch. Ask for Gary or Dave, or you can chat with a non-commissioned jewelry expert and know you're getting the best jewelry at the best prices. But they do more. Joslyn's does thousands of repairs every year for a fraction of what corporate jewelers charge because it's the right thing to do for your valued customers. Visit Joslyn's, the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Whether it's complete collision repair or just a couple of door dings you want pulled out with that paintless dent removal, Merriam Body Shop has you covered with the best customer service in the industry. Merriam Body Shop is a State Farm preferred collision center and can handle it from start to finish. They even offer complete auto detailing, so give them a call at 913-362-1198 for an appointment just off I-35 and Johnson Drive, or visit them online at merriambodyshop.com. AmazingGarageFloors.net is locally owned and operated by John Hutchins, a great American patriot that served with honor. Hutch can seal your driveway and add years of life to your concrete, or get you that amazing garage floor you've always wanted. This is a home improvement project you're going to love, so let someone else do it for you. A lot of guys think they can do this themselves. Don't go through the hassle. Call Hutch, 913-901-7139, or log on to AmazingGarageFloors.net. Fry Orthodontics has 12 area locations for your convenience, and Dr. Jeremy and his team are just a little bit different than the others. They make it fun and friendly to make your teenager feel comfortable from beginning to end. I had braces. It's an uncomfortable experience. Looking back on it, it's not as big a deal as I thought it was. I thought it was the end of the world at the time because you're always in pain. Your mouth always hurts. But so Dr. Jeremy's going to make this comfortable. And the best thing is free retainers for life. It's a great deal. I've lost a couple of them over the years. I didn't get free ones. I don't know why. But you're going to get them if you talk to Dr. Jeremy at Fry Orthodontics. Also, Invisalign is the same price as braces. So your first appointment is also free if you mention this podcast. Call 913-469-9191 and schedule today at Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. It's a football feast on a Monday. Let's go.
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Sort of a mixed bag of emotions type of weekend. I know Mizzou did not play. They had a bye week. Kansas got off to a good start against Oklahoma. They were winning, 10-0 with halfway through the third quarter. They actually sent out an email to their student body, Kansas Athletics, did, saying, "Hey, the Jayhawks are beating the Sooners. Get your butts in the stands." You know, everyone's out there still tailgating, not really caring about the football game. It's like, oh, the Hawks are winning. Maybe we ought to, go inside and check this out. I thought that was kind of interesting. You normally don't see that. That's a very Kansas football thing to do. That's not a knock. But Kansas, they've got some confidence now. I thought Jason Bean played really well for KU. Who knows? I mean, they're probably sitting here thinking maybe they can upset K-State in a few weeks. I don't know. K-State was able to get the win. And, boy, what a relief it looked like that was for Chris Klieman, because this is a coach and a program who had lost eight straight conference games dating back to last season. I wouldn't say he's been on any hot seat, obviously, but K-State fans are crazy when it comes to coaches. I know all these people. They are nuts when it comes to coaches. They've let Bruce Weber have it for years. He takes him to the Elite Eight, and then you don't hear a peep until now. I mean, I feel like a lot of K-State fans are not necessarily delusional in a way, but pretty delusional in a way sometimes when it comes to coaches as to thinking they can do better than what they've got. I just am being honest. It's not the destination spot for either program, and they're always thinking that it's going to get better. They can get somebody better. I just don't see it. And especially with Chris Klieman, I think he's a fantastic football coach. I think their defense stinks, and I think that's the reason why they've had issues. That's the reason why they lost their first three conference games, arguably the toughest three conference games they were going to play anyways. I'm not sure with Skylar Thompson fully healthy, with a fully healthy defense, they were going to win those games anyway. I mean, that's a tough start. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Iowa State, boom. That's a tough stretch. And then they go on the road at Texas Tech, get the win. Another slow start. They got down 14-0 in a hurry. Same with the Kansas City Chiefs. But K-State was able to come back and get it done. Skylar Thompson played well. And what a relief it was for that team just to be able to go win a road game in the Big 12 after the way things had been going. And they were going south in a hurry. They did not play good against Iowa State the previous week. They looked terrible, in fact. And they bounced back. So good for K-State. Got the win. Good for Kansas in a way, just to give them some sort of confidence boost. Now, at the end of the day, obviously, Oklahoma had more manpower. The Jayhawks were never going to really win that game. It didn't really feel that way. But Oklahoma just lit it up in the second half, and especially in the fourth quarter. And Kansas was just not able to compete with that. They just weren't. As well as they played, as well as their defense played in the first half, they just weren't able to hang. So the Kansas City Chiefs, they go to Nashville. They just get pummeled by the Tennessee Titans. I really don't even think the final score dictates how bad of an ass-whooping this game actually was. And that's what it was. It was an ass-whooping from start to finish. The Chiefs never had a chance in this one. They never did. Especially after the Mahomes fumble. That wasn't really his fault. He was running, trying to scramble for a first down. He did get the ball tucked away. The defender just made a great play, punched it out. Is that what they call the peanut punch? When you come up from behind somebody and punch it out sideways, that's pretty much what happened. And that's just unfortunate. There was nothing he could have done about that. He was tucking the ball away because he knew he was about to slide, and it just got knocked out. That's the kind of year that the Chiefs are having. Now, in the previous years, that ball would have gotten knocked out, but it would have rolled out of bounds. It was very close to rolling out of bounds. Not this year. The Chiefs are not getting any breaks. Literally every break has been bouncing to their opponents, whether it's the ball bouncing off the hands of Tyreek Hill, whether it's the Mahomes fumble that essentially that closed the game out in Tennessee yesterday. That was it. As soon as that fumble happened right before half, I just, like, it's over. I mean, they can't catch a break. They're not playing well. They're committing penalties. It's everything that's gone wrong for the Chiefs this year. Has gone wrong. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And it's really, really frustrating to watch, and I can only imagine what those players in the locker room are thinking. I'm just hoping that the blame game is not going on. Because, if you're the Kansas City defense and you're getting gashed in the first quarter yesterday and Mahomes is turning the ball over, you got to go back out there again and try and tackle Derrick Henry. I mean, I'd imagine there's some blame game going on. Like, hey, guys, we've been on the field the entire half. How about we put together an offensive drive where, you run 6-7 minutes off the clock, we could take a breather, and then regroup. The Chiefs just haven't done that. It's been so, so frustrating to watch. It's time now for the weekly conversation with the one and only. It's time to bring on the quarterback, Stan Weber, for the football feast. I think that's what my dad calls this segment. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, Stan, how we doing today?
I'm doing great. Great to talk to you, Spencer. It should be a lot of fun. It's been fun to watch you grow up and then now get a chance to talk to you in an official capacity like this on the podcast. That's pretty cool. But,
yeah,
I got to tell you before we go much further, you've been out of town a little bit. You haven't been around the Kansas City area
mm-hmm.
for a little while. And I just want to bring you up to date on something in case you haven't been tracking with it. I know you got a busy life, but there's this guy in town that he started a podcast about a year ago or so. He's really hitting it. I mean, the listenership is just growing all the time. People are loving listening to it, okay? And this guy, I mean, he called what the Chiefs were doing a couple weeks ago and talking about how things are not trending the right way and they're breaking down and this is really, really bad and the Chiefs are in trouble and things aren't going well. I mean, this guy just nailed it. This guy named Kevin, he was all over this. So hopefully you'll get a chance to listen to that podcast because this guy, Kevin Keatsman, I mean, he kind of told us that the Chiefs were not in good shape, and he may be the smartest guy in the world after watching them play the Titans yesterday.
So yeah.
Go ahead and listen to that show sometime.
I'm pretty sure I've heard it. I've heard a lot of them. And, Stan, I appreciate all the kind words. I got to tell you something real quick. I'll always remember this, and I'm not really sure why. You know, when you're a young kid, you seem to – some things just kind of stand out later in life a little bit more. But I think the first time I met you, I was maybe 8 years old. Sports Radio 810 used to do that thing called the Turkey Bowl, the charity flag football game out at Rockhurst. And I remember you being a part of that. And I went up to you and I said, good job on the prediction for the Kansas State-Nebraska game in 1998, because they made this tape. K-State made this tape that they sold where they asked a bunch of media members before they showed the highlights of the game what they thought the score was, and you hit it. It was like a 10-point game. I don't know why I'll always remember that, but I will.
Well, that's a good memory to have because Michael Bishop and the Cats finally ended that Nebraska streak in 1998, and it is amazing that Sports Radio 810 WHB was starting back then, and your dad was hitting it on the radio when he'd been this television guy, and now he's starting to podcast. But it's really cool, Spencer, to see you get a chance to do this. It is a really great honor to be able to get on the air. It's not something that a lot of people could do or obviously get an opportunity to do. So I'm really enjoying the opportunity. I can't believe we're actually not just sitting here having a conversation saying, hey, remember the old days when you were young? And remember that day I came over to your house and you guys are the first people in the world to have like six or seven TV screens up and we're watching a bunch of games on the satellite over at your house. And, you know, we can have all those conversations, but actually we got people listening to us like we're really important and needing to talk about some things. So it's awesome to have the chance to talk to you today.
Well, thank you so much. And sort of a mixed bag of emotions this weekend locally. For all the football teams, Kansas got off to a hot start, really played well against Oklahoma in the first half, and I thought Jason Bean, the quarterback, showed some signs of improvement. Now, a lot of people are sort of wondering, like, where did this performance come from? And then, obviously, Oklahoma, with the manpower that they have, was too much for the Jayhawks, but is there sort of maybe a turning point here for Kansas? Is this maybe some confidence and see if they can get maybe a conference win down the road?
Well, no doubt about it. You need to have confirmation on field that you believe that the things you're being taught make sense. Now, you can be taught things that are completely different. And one time with one coach, the way they're rolling through, you know, when you're in a losing program, they bring new coaches in. They all have their way of doing things. Believe in us, our strength and conditioning coach has a new way of doing it. We got a different strategy. We're going to be here for you for the long term. We love you as a human being and as an athlete, as well as a student and a young man. You know, stick with us. Those kind of things are all told to you, and many of them aren't going to work and just are not going to be valuable on the football field, and some of them are. And it's almost impossible for the players to sort that out, Spencer. Mm-hmm. It only is when it starts working on the field that you got an aha moment, and you go, wait a second, we are doing the right things, and finally, someone's leading us out of the desert. You know, there's a little spot of water here or there. Maybe we will see a nice, beautiful lake and some greenery at some time. It's really hard to convince the players that what Lance Leipold is talking about isn't any different than what they were talked about with Les Miles, but it's completely different. And Lance Leipold only had that win against South Dakota, a must win, but after that, they've had their struggles. First of all, the offense couldn't move at all. Then they're still getting pounded by people. And at some point, the player's going to go, you know, what's different about this? But it is different. And they are being taught completely different. But they've got to get the confirmation. And they finally saw a little bit of that against Oklahoma. It'll be a real boost for the program for the long term. Will it matter this year? You don't know if it's going to matter as far as winning games. But it is going to matter for the long term that now they realize that they've got something going on. It starts also with Jason being a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Remember, he didn't play at Kansas last year. So any stigma you want to put on that you guys lose all the time forever, he's going back to his living arrangement and saying, what are they talking about? I mean, yeah, we didn't win that game and we lost a few, but I don't know anything about this. And that's good. He's kind of naive to it. He's just going to play. And then you got a young running back in Neal who doesn't know about, don't put these losses on me. Yeah. I'm just going to play. And here's a couple of two guys, right, offensive weapons that are starting to get the work done. It really helps that the coaching staff can be believed by a couple of guys who don't have the stigma of we always lose and find a way to lose. So, yeah, it was a big step. But I've said all along, Lance Leipold's the real deal. He's a real coach, and he is going to get Kansas doing the right things. What does that mean? How high can they go? How fast will it happen? Those are yet to be determined. But Saturday helped vault them forward because most people said, oh, boy, they're not going to win another game the rest of this year. Look how the schedule gets hard. And that can be very demoralizing. In basketball starting, you know, you can really lose the prestige of saying, I play college football when you walk around on campus and no one wants to talk about you. Mm-hmm. But now, after that Oklahoma game, they had fans coming in after the game started. The place started filling up as they opened the gates up and said, come on in. You might want to see what's happening with this game. So it'll be a big boost, but they are doing the right things. Will they win another game? Maybe not, but it was a big confirmation. The pride of the KU football players as they go to the training table today will be completely different. Their ears will be more open. They'll listen to the coaches, and the more they listen to Lance Leipold and his staff, the more they're going to find their way out of that desert and do some things. So we'll see. The one thing that this does take a step back from, you know, K-State's going to go there in a couple of weeks in a game that, you know, Kansas players are going to be excited about and want to think about, can we pull off the upset? This game put on tape, get the attention of the K-State players. They won't say, oh, this is going to be easy. And that may cause Kansas to have a little bit better effort from their opponents. So it could work both ways for the rest of this mm-hmm. season, but there's nothing bad about showing some excitement around their football program the way they did on Saturday.
Yeah, and you just mentioned Kansas State and sort of the sigh of relief that was Chris Klieman after that ball game in Lubbock had ended. There's a picture making its rounds around the internet and around the message boards and Twitter universe for Kansas State of Klieman just sort of bent over, like with his hands on his knees, like, wow, we pulled that off. I mean, what a relief it was for Kansas State to go win that game. Deuce Vaughn, not necessarily the stellar Deuce Vaughn performance, but give Texas Tech credit. They were able to check him a little bit, but what we're used to seeing from Skylar Thompson, I mean, 24 of 30 for 296 and a touchdown. Pretty good offensive performance from him. Kansas State got off to a slow start, Stan, but they were able to come back and get a one-point victory.
Well, it's nice when a younger person like you uses some conservative words and you doesn't overstate things. So I liked how you used that K-State got off to a slow start. Look up that word slow and then go find a few more that are just like 10 times worse. I mean, K-State hadn't snapped a ball on offense yet, and they're behind 14 to nothing on the road. Feature unit of K-State football 2021 is Malik Knowles in the kickoff return unit. And they'd fumbled on their kickoff return and given the ball right back to Texas Tech. The defense had allowed Texas Tech to score in two plays, and they were pretty consistent about it. It was like 30 and then 45. You know, not just one long play, both of them long plays, after starting the week before with a 75-yard touchdown given up. So everyone's looking around. Skylar Thompson, on the second offensive play that he snapped, got his foot stepped on while he's going backwards. Yep. So he fell down going backwards, losing yardage, not handing it off, and also tweaking his knee at the same time, the injured knee. You know, it couldn't go much worse. Then he finally threw a pass, and my son Landry had his first drop of the year along the sideline. And you're going, whoa. And then a punt return almost gets out of the house. You know, K-State finally gets him out of bounds. And here Texas Tech has the ball, up 14 to nothing. The K-State offense has gone backwards, penalties everywhere, turnovers. How could you possibly find a way to win this game? And they did. You know, it's in the miracle status or whatever you want to say. But one thing that came out of the game is that K-State is going to have confidence, because now when coaches get in there and say, stick with it, let's fight the whole game, their ears are going to be much more open. Same kind of example I gave with Kansas. The coaching staff's going to have a football team that's going to say, clean up the bad starts, and we're fine. Look what we did the rest of the game. Look, for the second time this year on the road, K-State's played two conference road games, Spencer, and they've shut out their opponent in the second half both times, Oklahoma State and now here at Texas Tech. Can you clean up the first half? Well, you better. But you can also talk about how when things settle down and you started playing your game, you could put together shutouts. But the big thing, Spencer, I think that all K-State fans ought to know, and I think Courtney Messingham, the football players, and head coach Chris Klieman can be convicted about, is K-State's passing game is good.
Yeah.
You know, we've watched the last few years and said, what is the formula for K-State to win football? And a lot of times it's been like the North Dakota State formula, where you control the game, run the ball, use the clock, demoralize your opponents, complete passes on third down, make plays, formation them out of their minds where they get tricked, and you beat them with angles and those type of things. And all of that can work. But no one has really said, well, let's put the ball in the hands of our quarterback and throw. That sounds like something the Kansas City Chiefs might have said the last few years, not the K-State Wildcats. But they did it against Oklahoma, right? He threw 41 times. And look at the production that he had. A very nice job by Skylar Thompson from the offensive perspective. And in this game, K-State got balanced. By throwing the ball a lot in the second half, they end up with basically equal numbers of runs and passes in the game. And I think the K-State passing game is actually the better part of the K-State offense. Having balance in your offense, Bill Snyder talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. It's always good. But Skylar Thompson deserves a ton of credit. Think about this, Spencer. You're watching the game the last few weeks with K-State throwing the ball more effectively. And one of the things you notice, if it's third and 12, where does the ball go? 14 yards downfield. And he is picking out the receiver, looking off the safety, delivering the ball on time, and getting the ball past the first down marker. Now it's first and 10. And you might think if you're playing 7-on-7 and just practicing passing, you might throw the same pass. But you know what? He is a guy who understands the game and says, hey, it's first and 10. Let's don't take any chances here. I got a receiver standing along the sideline 7 yards downfield. He may not run after the catch, but I'm just going to deliver him the ball and pick up 7 yards on first down. He is game aware. So you're seeing Skylar Thompson not only throw the ball accurately, which is incredible, keep his head up and have a high completion percentage, but he's also very game aware and not throwing the ball in dangerous positions. So I think we all can now say, as we get ready for the last half of the season, something different than maybe we said during the first half. I think K-State's passing game is good, and that can open up some new avenues where the running game can come back and be a factor. But really, when K-State drops back and passes, I think the defensive coordinators of the opponents are going, oh, shucks, I wish they would have ran. That's how well Skylar Thompson's doing, and everybody else. The blocking unit has done a very good job of pass blocking, a excellent job of pass blocking. And the receivers, they had 11 different players, maybe 12, who caught a pass in the game against Texas Tech. So there are a lot of guys who are making plays out there, running routes, and coming along in a passing game. So a part of the game that a lot of people didn't think K-State would be very good at all is now, I think, a feature part of their offense. And that really makes me think more positively about the rest of the season.
Yeah, and I agree, and especially since K-State's schedule gets quite a bit easier. I mean, we knew it was going to be a tough start with Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State, the first three right off the bat to start conference play. I mean, that's just a complete gauntlet right there. But switching gears to another team who got off to a slow start over the weekend but was not able to do anything about it, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Stan, you looked up, boom, it was 14-0 within the first two offensive series of the game for Tennessee. The Chiefs they've been letting that happen multiple times this year. Just terrible starts. You're not used to seeing Kansas City have to punt on the first series of the game offensively. Tennessee's got a running game that really, really exposed a lot of weaknesses in Kansas City's D. I mean, those weaknesses were exposed weeks ago, don't get me wrong, but the Titans just had their way. And then you mentioned Mahomes, two turnovers in the first half. He threw the pick where the receiver was falling down. He wasn't open anyways. There was two defenders right there. And then the defender makes a great play. He fumbles, just trying to scramble for a first down. He made a good play, got the first down, tried to tuck the ball away. Boom, fumble. At that point, the game's over. I mean, that to me was it right there.
Well, it was just a comedy of errors. They don't match up necessarily well with Tennessee. You can see that they've lost three straight regular season games against the Titans. And I think Tannehill was the key in the game. I was saying to your dad last week that if he was on in his passing game with that play action, they would be hard to beat because you know Derrick Henry in the running game is going to be good. They got a good head coach. So, you know, Tennessee's a good matchup for the Chiefs, but that's not what this is about. It was a complete beatdown and a demoralization of the Kansas City Chiefs football program. You know, that's the big news right here because if Kevin's listening, Kevin, I hope you're listening. I hope you find time to, you know, listen to the podcast.
He will be, Stan. He's taking notes right now on how bad I'm doing.
You know, when we talk about the trouble they're in, you know, that is a fact. But one of the things that we're seeing right now is that you're seeing that they've lost their swagger. You know, they don't – they had this deal where they knew they were the best team when they played all of last season and they got to beat in the Super Bowl. Then they get to the point where, well, we didn't win the Super Bowl, but it's all the offensive line's fault and there's the Britt Reid stuff and the motions of all of that. But we're still the best team. All we got to do is go out and play. Well, now that is being broken down and they're starting to look in the mirror and realize – it's not that easy, and things aren't necessarily always going to go your way. I think that Patrick Mahomes has great talent, but he's also lived what I couldn't believe is a fantasy land of 3 years of everything he did turned golden. You know, he just decided, I'm going to flick the ball when I'm running out of bounds downfield and see what happens, and it ends up being an unbelievable third down conversion. Or he throws the ball left-handed against the Broncos, and you say, oh, God, look at that. That's a nice completion. And they no-look passes. And the reel is unbelievable. You think about the run against the Titans in the playoffs. I don't know if you remember that right before the half when he ran down the left side.
Of course, yeah.
And then he spun around. Think about this for a second. You go back and watch that tape, Spencer. When he spun around about the 8-yard line when everyone thought he was going to step out of bounds, but he turned back toward the field and ended up taking it in for a touchdown that rocked Arrowhead like you can't believe it and said, Chiefs, we're going to go win this game. In another comeback in the Super Bowl championship year 2019. Go back and watch the tape, Spencer. He got hit and lost the ball for a little bit while he was about the 3-yard line. What happens if that would have turned into a fumble? What happens if that ball would have bounced away and been recovered and erased all of that, and they didn't even get a field goal out of it? Guess what? That didn't happen to Patrick Mahomes. The ball kind of somehow stays within his grasp as he's going down. He captured, he scores a touchdown. Didn't happen yesterday, right? He has had balls bounce off of Tyreek Hill's hands a couple times this year and ended up with interceptions, including a critical pick six against Buffalo. He's throwing passes under duress, and they end up getting intercepted. He throws the ball against the Chargers and says, well, I assume Travis Kelce knows that I'm going to throw the ball upfield and we'll get a nice little completion here, backed up, trying to go down and win the game, and it ends up looking like a punt to the Chargers for an interception, right? I mean, he, for 3 years, I couldn't believe it. When he threw the ball for grabs, it always turned out well until the Super Bowl. Some things started happening, and now it's kind of the pendulum swung. Maybe it's bad luck, but these things can happen when you're dangerous. He's carrying the ball around with one hand a lot. I know he kind of tucked it away when he lost the fumble, but he's doing things that are dangerous. He's throwing the ball in areas that deserve to have some interceptions over the last few years, and they haven't happened. And now they're turning the other way. What is he going to do about that? I don't think his confidence level is where it needs to be. Now, we've spoken about it, Spencer, and you've probably heard this. I think the offensive line is one problem, that the tackles aren't good enough. And they have one way of trying to protect the quarterback, and that's to push the outside rusher around the circle, around the outside. But I think that in the back of his mind, Patrick Mahomes he's antsy in the pocket. He doesn't want to stay and throw from the pocket, and I think he believes he's got pressure from behind. Did you see one of those sacks yesterday when he was in the pocket still? He turned backwards and looked and said, I might be getting hit here, and he did right after that. But I think he has been so antsy. Think about when Henny went into the game. Did you see the Chiefs' offense start working? Now, no one's going to tell us and make us believe that you don't want Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback, but you see him just get rid of the ball, throw from the pocket, take the easy passes, and don't overcomplicate things. I think right now Patrick Mahomes is overcomplicating things. I don't think he believes in his offensive line. He's feeling antsy and wanting to make the big play, and he's not accepting that we can just take 3 yards on this play, 7 yards on that play, and maneuver down the field. Here's a big, big statement. So, Kevin, here's one thing I think right now. I think that Tampa Bay, the Chargers originally, but Tampa Bay in spades, showed everyone a formula that could cause the Chiefs problems on offense, okay? That's what happened at the Super Bowl. Coming into this season, even the Buffalo Bills, who even Buffalo said we're going to stay back and play. Everyone is saying we're going to stay back and make you play underneath us. Don't beat us over the top and things like that. So now we've seen a blueprint, and we've talked about that. Defensive coordinators have seen a blueprint that gives them a chance to stop this high-powered Kansas City Chiefs offense. So that's a starting point. But that just means in the tennis match, the ball's been hit back on the side of the court of Andy Reid, because he's got to figure out a way to combat what they've done. They've made their move, and now it's starting to work. And I think his offense is now in the tape room watching during the week, and I don't think they believe, oh, we're going to get him. I think they're starting to think, this is working. You know, we don't have plays that are going to cut these teams apart, that is going to just move the ball down the field. So there's some doubt that's in the offensive side in addition to the other opponent, and that's a bad combination. Therefore, they're pressing. And Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the keys to working with Mahomes, are a little beat up. That doesn't help. But here's my point I want to make. I think the Chiefs are even doubting that they have a formula to go against what the opponents are doing. And that means it's on Andy to get his confidence level up of his offensive football team and say, here's how we're going to do things. Now, Spencer, your dad hopefully is going to love this one. See what you think. If I told you that Alex Smith was a quarterback of the Chiefs getting ready to play against the New York Giants, and if I told you in the next six games the Chiefs play five home games out of those six, what do you think Alex Smith would do if he became the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback?
I think they would probably smarten up the offense a little bit, maybe tighten things up, clean it up a little bit, run the ball a little more. I don't know. Honestly, they wouldn't turn it over. They wouldn't turn it over twice in the first half. I can guarantee you that.
Exactly. Yeah. They wouldn't win. I mean, they would win. When he became the quarterback last year for Washington, Spencer, all they did was go win games. Okay. Alex Smith has a mentality that says, don't turn over the football, and all we need to do is make 10 yards in three plays. That's the only goal and objective. There's nothing past that. There's no style points. There's nothing of expectations. He simplifies the world to say, can we get 10 yards in three plays? And oftentimes, Alex Smith with scrambles or short passes gets 11 in three plays, right? And we were watching the Chiefs who gained about 7 or 8 yards every time they snapped the ball the last couple of years. How boring is it? But if you went back to that mentality, I think the Chiefs would perform and start winning games. It also protects the defense, which is awful, and those kind of things. But it's a mentality. It's not a frustrated mentality. It's not a non-belief. It's not, oh, they got a formula to stop us. I think the thing that I come out of this game with is there's a Chiefs unit, a football team that's infected now with some non-belief. The swagger's gone. Spencer, what I said last week or 2 weeks ago when the Chiefs got beaten by Buffalo was I was very confident the Chiefs would bounce back, and I said they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. You know, maybe 85% chance or more. I say the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be fine, even if they lose to Tennessee. I thought they beat Washington, and even if they lost to Tennessee, they're going to be fine. Well, now you got to have a whole another evaluation after this game, right? Only 3 points, just totally get the game taken away from you like college. It looked like Alabama was playing someone that isn't as good, and you knew things were going to go poorly. That infects the football team, the confidence factor. They lost the swagger and everything else. So you've got to change your odds completely. You can't be as confident and sit there and say, oh, they're going to be fine. They're going to turn it on. They'll fix things. The schedule is going to turn their way, and they're going to have an 85% chance. But I'm still not going to throw away the chances because it's all about where everyone else in the AFC is. So I still think the Chiefs have a greater than 50% chance of making the playoffs. I have no problem saying that. It's not all over. There's a lot of games left. But they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. Andy's going to have to get some answers for the offense. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes is going to have to start playing with a confidence of saying, I can throw the ball from the pocket and just have an understated expectation of what they need to do. An Alex Smith type of mentality. And on defense, things got to get fixed. Where are you going to get fixed? It's going to be hard. I mean, they made a mistake to start the year by having Chris Jones think that we could put him to defensive end because someone's going to be able to replace his performance. Spencer, you know about Aaron Donald. He, what, is voted the best defensive player in the NFL the last few years?
Yeah.
Do you think the Rams have ever thought about saying, let's give him some room on the outside? Let's put Aaron Donald on the edge because he could blow up some passes even better. No one's gotten tempted to do that, right? Because if you had a good fullback, let's give you this example. If you had a really good fullback, I mean, he was old school, catching, blocking, every blitz pickup, does everything right for your team. Do you suddenly just say, oh, you know what, let's just put you at tight end? Because there's not that much difference. You're used to playing physical, and you're used to catching balls with people around you in the flat and over the middle. Let's make you a tight end. Well, guess what, fans? It's totally different being a fullback than a tight end. It's completely different. Just lining up on the line and a different responsibilities. And it's the same thing with defensive linemen. To think that Chris Jones is going to just go out and dominate because he has a body type that looks like a defensive end, you just took away your greatest or second greatest asset on defense and moved him and made him average and mixed with his head about what he's going to do and need to be. And we're paying for that little mistake right there. And Tyrann Mathieu is not making his plays. Oh, Spencer, Dan Sorensen didn't play that much. I was told 2 weeks ago, if Dan Sorensen quit playing as much and Juan Thornhill went in, the Chiefs' defense would be fixed.
Nope.
I guess we don't need to throw Dan Sorensen underneath the bus. He was not the only problem.
No, they can cancel that GoFundMe page I saw on Facebook trying to buy out Dan Sorensen's contract. I mean, let's just talk real quick before we let you go about the rest of the league. You mentioned the Rams and what Aaron Donald is so effective at doing. A lot of that is because of the Rams' secondary. I think it's really good. I mean, you got Jalen Ramsey and Jordan Fuller out there. They squeak one out against the Lions, but also in that same division, I got to ask you, Stan, since I'm right here in Phoenix, how for real are the Arizona Cardinals? I mean, this is a team that, one, they have the best record. They're the only one that's still undefeated. They have all the confidence in the world. They went out and got better last week by trading for Zach Ertz. They took essentially the Eagles' best player on offense and brought him to the desert, and then he scores a touchdown in his first game with the Cardinals. I mean, this is a team right now that has all the confidence with a young quarterback who is playing well, who has been coached up well, although I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is the best game manager there is. But are the Cardinals really this good?
Yes, and the good thing about this is it's the NFL. So you can just don't be conservative or humble out there in Arizona, because when you're right close to it, it's hard to puff your chest out. You know, you're like, is this really real? These are the Cardinals.
Yeah.
We studied them. You know, this is Cliff Kingsbury. He basically got run out of Texas Tech because he couldn't get things done there. And Patrick Mahomes was his quarterback for a while. You know, so hey, there are plenty of questions. Kyler Murray doesn't look the part, right? He's not 6'5" and all of those things. But first of all, let me promise you, this is the NFL. It's not about what conference you're in college football, and you haven't played this team or that team. This is the NFL, and they are 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to 7-0 without being a legitimate team, number one. So just feel very comfortable in that. Number two, look at the division they're in. Rams, for real, a team that could go all the way to the Super Bowl. And Seattle and San Francisco, for teams that are kind of just below 500, super dangerous, legitimate teams that think about the playoffs very easily every year, every year. And we thought the Niners might even make a bounce back this year and get all the way back to the Super Bowl after all the injuries they had last year. Mm-hmm. So, and you've won four games on the road, more than you've had at home. You've won two of your division games. And Kyler Murray's the real deal. Go back and watch the tape from last year, Spencer. You know, you saw all those games.
Oh, yeah.
That was not fool's gold. With him running around, he's not taking big hits because when he moves from the pocket, he hardly gets touched, but he keeps his head up, throws accurate footballs. When he is in the pocket, he's got an unbelievable touch, beautiful ball. It's accurate, has enough velocity, but he also can run around, throw it on the run. And oh, by the way, sometimes he'll just go run for 15 yards and you wonder, how could that possibly be? Like, no one is able to even touch him. So he's making good decisions. He's protecting the ball more than people think. The offense has weapons, okay?
Yeah.
When he does decide to throw, even before Ertz, they had the receivers to get it done. I mean, the Houston Texans said, here, how about you take our best receiver? The Eagles said, how about an all-pro type of tight end this year? You know, he comes over. They've got guys to go to. But the underrated thing, Spencer, that we need to scream and yell from is the defense is good.
Yeah.
Okay? The safety play is incredible. The speed with which they're playing with. And when J.J. Watt's just one of your guys, you know, not a big hype guy that, oh, watch J.J. Watt win the game. If you're going to do that, you're going to lose. Okay, he couldn't win in Houston when they said he he's got to make every play after a while. No, when he's just bought in, part of the team, and then once in a while in the game, you see him blow by and sack somebody and get up and you go, oh my gosh, that's J.J. Watt. And that's when you know your team is good. It's not about the hype. It's about the action. And guys like him are coming through and making plays. So it's a very good team. Now, here's the big thing, Spencer, that I believe in. Getting to the playoffs and working your way through the playoffs, being the hunted and have expectations and have home playoff games and things like that, it's not easy to handle. It's very hard to be given that mantra of, hey, you're a great regular season team, so why don't you go win a Super Bowl? There's something different about those playoffs, and especially making it to the biggest games, the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. So I want you to say that they could be really good and even the best team in the NFL, and it's not a dead cinch that they're going to go the rest of the way. But here's what to watch out for. For Chiefs fans, I'd say this as well. The teams that are ruling the NFL right now, the teams that are up there and appear to have the best chance of being teams to go all the way to the championship game and to the Super Bowl, most of them are highly inexperienced and having the ability to set their jaw and win this thing. And it means it's much more wide open. If I were, for instance, Spencer, to tell you that the Patriots were winning their division and Brady and Belichick were just cruising along in the AFC East, I would temper my excitement for Arizona going, I still don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl because I bet the Patriots are going to be there. Or if you go over and you say the Pittsburgh Steelers are running and playing great. But this year, you might say that about the Baltimore Ravens, but every time they start looking like they might be the Ravens of the last 10 years, they let you know it's kind of inconsistent, and you know Lamar Jackson hasn't shown in the playoffs. So the team to watch out for your friends in Arizona, I would say, would be the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
Okay, if Green Bay continues to win, and I don't think they're a perfect team at all. I don't. But if they continue to win their division, and make it right up into that NFC Championship game again, they actually are the most reliable, experienced team because of Aaron Rodgers. They were there in that game last year, right? And Tampa Bay. Those are the two teams that could block an Arizona team that's better than them. I should have said Tampa first. I apologize. Obviously, it's Tampa and Brady first, and then Green Bay. But other than that, they have a chance to beat those teams. And in the AFC, I think the Chiefs have a chance to bounce back and cause some havoc, because I don't think Buffalo is there yet to prove that they can get over the hump. And the other teams that are playing great football in the NFL right now have tons of question marks. How about the Cincinnati Bengals? How good are they? Do you really believe they're ready for prime time? How about a playoff game between Cincinnati and Arizona? I'd have no idea how that turned out. Like, which team would play and which would bumble around? But they don't play each other. They're going to be the AFC and the NFC. But I think Arizona's got a really good chance. Can they beat a Tampa Bay? Can they beat a Green Bay? That'll be the question down the line. But as far as regular season and this year, anything you want to believe down there with your friends, go ahead and do it. There's no false information when it comes to the NFL. You're 7-0. You're good.
Yeah, and the Cardinals actually host the Packers on Thursday night, so we'll get a preview of what could actually be maybe a playoff game down the stretch. I'm surprised I didn't hear the Dallas Cowboys get mentioned in there as one of the teams in the NFC that can upend them.
Hey, have you seen McCarthy coach this team?
I have, but I've seen Dak Prescott play when he's healthy, and it looks pretty good.
The offense is unbelievable. The offense is unbelievable. The defense is a little bit weak right now, but they have no idea how to win in the playoffs. They've proven that over and over. Remember when the Chiefs had some 13-3 teams and lost the first round? You were a young man hanging out in Kansas City at that time, and you saw it go away. They just couldn't get over the hump and win that game. Well, Dallas has done that a little bit as well. They did it under Tony Romo, and they did it under Dak Prescott when he was a rookie. So Dallas is dangerous on offense. Their defense is a little overrated. The coaching and decision-making is really, really awful many, many times over. So Arizona against Dallas will just be a shootout of offensive beauty, and I don't know which team will make the mistake first, because Cliff Kingsbury over there is not rock solid. You're not looking at Bill Belichick over there, and you're not looking at Mike Tomlin on the other sideline. I mean, it'll be hilarious. If they play each other in a playoff game, it's just going to be like, which one's going to make the dumbest move and lose the game? Because otherwise, Kyler Murray against Dak Prescott in a game, are you kidding me? How much fun would that be? Them guys getting after it. But I know the Cowboys too well, Spencer. Completely an unreliable team. So the reliable teams in the NFL who are championship levels, Tampa Bay, number one, Buffalo, and probably Green Bay, and then now Buffalo deserves to have some credit that maybe they're ready to grow up and play. But compared to most years, there are real opportunities. Because you're going to bet on Chargers right now? You know, you're going to bet on the Ravens? Are you going to bet on the Cincinnati Bengals making plays and going to the Super Bowl? I'm not ready to do that. So this year's going to be kind of a wide-open year unless Brady just grabs the game and says, forget it, guys. You're talking about second place. We got first covered. And until that is proven otherwise, I guess we got to believe that a little bit. But I love to have the diversity of the teams getting after it. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that there's 17 games and seven playoff teams. Otherwise, you know what happened yesterday? I'd say the Chiefs are unlikely to make the playoffs. I'd be saying that to you, Spencer, and your dad would be saying, finally, you started at a good spot, Stan, and you finally got to a good spot like I told you at the end. Finally, you're listening to me. But, Kevin, there are 17 games and seven teams. So I'm still saying, even though the chances of the playoffs being made by the Chiefs are diminished tremendously because they were broken apart in the heart of the football team when they lost to Tennessee, I still think they have a 50% chance or better, and your dad can drive off the road right now if he's driving. He's not listening to me, Spencer. He's not listening.
Oh, man, just temper his ego, why don't you? My goodness, Stan. Hey, I appreciate you coming on with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm actually kind of jealous of my dad that he gets to do this every week and just talk football with you. This is something I've wanted to do. It's been a lot of fun. You know your stuff, Stan, and this has been great. So thank you so much for doing this morning.
Okay, Spencer, great job, and enjoy the opportunity. I know you get a chance to do it on weekends, and keep up the hard work. That's what your dad taught you. You know, you're not a finished product, but you can just get better every day. Kind of a Bill Snyderism.
There we go.
So good job on the big stage, and keep working on the weekends, man.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Have a good one. All right. That's Dan Weber. That's something I've wanted to do. I really have, because I've enjoyed his conversations with my dad more than pretty much any other segment, just because, you know, I've been listening to Stan on 810 and with K-State football for a very, very, very long time. And it was fun to get to talk to him and chat football. Kind of went off the cusp there at the end, and that's what I like about it, because I wanted to get, you know, more big picture NFL stuff going on, and let's just see what the Chiefs can do. They've really got a situation right now that they're not used to being in, and that's what really, really scares me. You know, you talk to fans right now, I think that the confidence in the fans is probably about 50-50. You know, after week three or four, it's like, okay, whatever, still got Mahomes, they'll pick it up, they'll turn it around. They're still doing the same crap they were doing in September, and it's really, really, really frustrating to watch right now. So that's going to do it for me. Dad'll be back. I was filling in for him. He was actually in Nashville at the Chiefs game, having a good time down there until the football game started, I'm sure. So thank you guys so much. Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. Download every episode. Get on Spotify, iTunes, or it's not iTunes anymore. It's Apple Music. And tell your friends about it. It's been fun. Episodes are doing good. And I'm really proud of what my dad's been able to do here. So I'm just lucky to be a part of it. That's it for me. Have a good rest of your Monday.